Public hearing is conditional use number 1848, Todd Bariglio.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for business and professional offices to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 4.711 acres, more or less, lying at the southwest corner of Cedar Grove Road, being Road 283 and Plantation Road. And for the benefit of the commission, I am passing down a copy of survey site plan of the for the application. It's the same as what's in the exhibit booklet. And I do have some agency comments. For the benefit of the commission, on September 14th, the applicant provided us with an exhibit booklet. That's a three-ring binder, about an inch thick of documents. It has been a part of the record since the 14th. The commission all have copies. Have received some agency comments, as I stated. Received two different comments from DelDOT. One is dated June 19th of 2007, makes reference to a support facilities report. A traffic impact study was not required. And that was when they were proposing to do a rezoning to B1 for the site. On August 26th of 2009, a letter was sent to the Planning and Zoning Department. We received it on September 1st of this year, 2009. Makes reference to Ocean Park Business Campus, the title of the project. It's a letter in reference entrance location only and is not to be authorized at commencement of entrance construction. Site to have access from Road 283, shown on the proposed site plan. The developer shall contribute funds to DelDOT based on an equitable share of the developments within the project area for the realignment of Road 283. Entrance plan shall be developed in accordance with the department's rules and regulations prior to entrance approval. So the letter of no objection is not a DelDOT endorsement of the project discussed. And that is also a part of the, has been a part of the record. The second comment is from Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. Again, it was received today. Makes reference to the site, the location, the intent for business and professional complex. The site is located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer district. It is located in the Gosley Creek planning area. Wastewater capacity is available. Ordinance 38 construction would be required. The current system connection charge rate is $4,336 per EDU. Service has not been extended to the area at this time. They have provided and attached a copy of the policy for extending district boundaries in the county water and sanitary sewer districts, which would be the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District. Conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study will be required. They also provide additional comments that the parcel is in the Gosley Creek planning area, adjoins the West Rehoboth expansion area, and connection to the sewer system is mandatory. The parcel is not in the sanitary sewer district at this time. The parcel could be annexed into the West Rehoboth expansion area following the completion of certain administrative procedures. The proposed project could receive sewer following an extension of sewer lines to the parcel and completion of certain downstream upgrades by the developer or others. The proposed development will require a developer installed a collection system in accordance with county standard requirements and procedures. The county engineer must approve the connection point. The engineering department requires that a sewer concept plan be submitted for review and approval prior to requesting annexation into the West Rehoboth expansion area. They provide a checklist for preparing a conceptual plan and also attached a copy of the policies and steps for extending sewer district boundaries. And they add again that the concept plan is required. And that was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. from the Sussex Conservation District, again, in a form of a memorandum which was received today. We are advised that this site has four soil types, that the developer will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it may not be necessary for any off-site drainage improvements, and that it's possibly it will be required to have some on-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is a copy of an aerial photograph with the tax parcels overlaid, and also a copy of a soil map, a map legend, a soil interpretation, and a two-page article on prime and other important farmlands. I received two letters in support of the application. One is from Gene DeBarnick, Jr., resident of the Plantations. And we've also received a letter of support from Suzanne Powell, also a resident of the Plantations. And we received a letter in opposition from Robert Kaplan. And I will pass these down so you can review them for consideration. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. Before the applicant begins, I want to again invite any of you that have an interest in this application to feel free to get up and take a closer look at the exhibits. They're awfully far away from you. So just ask that that you do so quietly and with a minimum amount of discussion. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the benefit of the record, my name is Dennis Schrader, and I'm the attorney for the applicant, Todd Bariglio, in conditional use application number 1848. Let me introduce the people that I have with me this evening. I have Todd Bariglio and Mike Ryman in this row. I have Brad Hastings sitting behind Mike Ryman, and over here I have Jeff Bross. Mr. Bross and the gentleman I've just referred to are all available to either testify or to address questions that may be asked. I'm going to go slightly out of order, but I'm also going to recognize my entourage. Ms. Deaver is here along with a number of the people. We were all left over from Tuesday night. I hope you all went home and ate and got a nap, but tonight, I hope we're going to be out of here a little quicker than we were the last time. Beg your pardon?
I'm not in your entourage.
Well, I mean, she's not a stalker either, I don't think. In any event, with that happy thought in mind, gentlemen, what we have is the application of Todd Bariglio for the Ocean Park project. This project was previously before you earlier this spring. It came before you, a recommendation of denial was made, it went to the county council, and before a decision was made, a withdrawal application was filed with the county so that we could file this matter as a conditional use, as had been suggested both here and at the council level, for general and professional offices. This would intentionally alleviate any concerns that were expressed during the public hearing process. And gentlemen, as you know, on a change of zone, you don't get to get into site-specific issues as you do with a conditional use, and there was concern expressed about some of the site issues. To that end, the council actually voted in favor of the application for withdrawal, permitted the expedited return of this project, and we are back tonight to represent it to you as a conditional use. We have submitted, as we did before, an exhibit book that contains many items that will help you in a deliberative process, including but not necessarily limited to two things that Mike Ryman will discuss later. One of them is conformity of this particular project with the environmentally sensitive developing overlay zone requirements. That can be found in tab 1.4, and also the plus comments. I would point out to you that because this project is less than 50,000 square feet and does not involve any residential units, a plus review and an ESDDOZ statement are not necessarily required. As you may recall from the last hearing, there was a plus review because this property had been coupled with another tract and the total square footage of commercial development would have exceeded 50,000 square feet. But the comments are still pertain because the status of the land and the technicals remain essentially the same. At this time, I would like to have the books made a part of the record, and I'm going to ask Mr. Ryman to come forward to give you a description of the surrounding area and to go through the technical things that go into the land plan. Before we do that, though, I do want to point out that in tab 3-0 and in tab 4.0, there was a typographical error. So what I'd like to do, it was only in the caption and in the title of those pages. I'm going to submit these. I have 10 copies for Mr. Lang to distribute or perforate so they can be inserted in the book. The text and the material contained in those tabs has not been changed, simply to change the designation of the application.
Good evening. My name is Mike Ryman. I'm a professional engineer with Becker Morgan Group. My address is 309 South Governors Avenue in Dover, Delaware. I'd like to begin by describing a little bit of the site area. Our project is actually located at the corner of Plantation Road and Cedar Grove Road here. The property is about 4.7 acres in size. The property is currently vacant. There has been a number of developments over the past 10 years within this particular area. I want to point out that Route 1 is located here on this part of the page, and there's a number of commercial and heavy shopping center uses along the Route 1 corridor. In addition, there are a variety of residential districts consisting of medium density residential zones, high density residential zones, and across the street, an MRRPC zone, as Mr. Schrader said, was at one point part of this application. Since then, we've actually lost that property, and the project has been reduced to a smaller portion of the project. This actually is representing a proposed road realignment of Cedar Grove Road. I'll get into that a little bit later. BB Medical Center is actually located here. On this particular property is a development called the Horola Office Development. That is also a conditional use professional general office development that was recently approved by the county. In addition, there is a pump station in reference to the engineering report. That pump station is actually located here, a stone's throw away from the property. We're adjacent to the sewer district. As I said, the existing site is currently vacant. We have surveyed the property. The survey is located in tab 2.3 of your report. There are no wetlands on the property, no endangered species. The site is completely vacant. What we are proposing to do is construct two 22,500 square foot office buildings for a total of 45,000 square feet on the property. We're doing that as a professional medical office. The buildings are two stories. They're shown here. This is the first building here. The second building is located here. And to get our bearings straight, this is Plantation Road. This is currently Cedar Grove Road. Postal Lane located here. You can see the offset in the intersection. I'll get into that in a little bit. And what's shown here is the future alignment of the Cedar Grove Road. Tab 2.4 of your book has the black and white plan, CAD plan, that was actually submitted, part of the record. And if you want to flip to 2.5 and have something up close, it's actually just this drawing. So if you can't see it here, it's in the book. The idea behind this layout is sort of a campus-style layout. We have a nice courtyard layout with some walking paths, pedestrian interconnectivity in the site. We have a multimodal path along Plantation Road. The site currently meets the minimum parking requirement as required by the Sussex County ordinance. That parking is around the facility to evenly distribute parking to the relationship of the building. We are proposing some understory parking in addition to surface parking in an effort to reduce our impervious coverage and environmental impact. We're proposing stormwater via an underground infiltration area as well as a proposed bioretention area. In correspondence in the plus comments, they had advised that they would like to see some green technology stormwater, and we're attempting to deliver that. We are also proposing to dedicate right-of-way along Plantation Road. This comes as a result of numerous meetings with DLDOT We're dedicating actually 20 feet of right-of-way along that frontage. Both buildings will be sprinklered in accordance with fire marshal regulations, and we have provided significant fire access around the buildings, and we greatly exceed the minimum perimeter accessibility requirements. The entrance is actually located on this portion, and what you're seeing on your plan is our temporary entrance location, and then ultimately, when the road is realigned, how we would tie into that from permanently. And I'll get into, again, the road a little bit later. We are showing significant landscaping around the perimeter, a mix of deciduous evergreen trees, some lower-lying shrubs. In addition to that, we are proposing some pervious parking, shown in the lighter gray in the parking areas. And actually, when Mr. Hastings comes up, he'll get into some of the environmental things that we're doing with this particular project. I'd like to talk a little bit about the effect on the adjacent properties. We don't think that this project would be a negative impact on our neighbors. We believe that this project and its proximity to residences will actually help reduce traffic on Route 1 by providing some services in proximity to the folks. In addition, we are proposing an office use, so we are not anticipating weekend operations or night operations as maybe a commercial use may do. In addition to that, and Mr. Hastings, when he comes up, he can touch on this, we are proposing a LEED project, and there are a multitude of safeguards that we have incorporated in our design, and Mr. Hastings will get into those. As Mr. Schrader said, this project did go through the PLUS process, but as it went back through that process when it was a rezoning, because the site plan is, and I want to correct Mr. Schrader, is less than 75,000 square feet is the threshold for the PLUS process in the county. It's not required to go through the PLUS process now as a site plan. But we have included for you the PLUS comments, some of which are still pertinent, like the stormwater, and we are addressing those and taking those into consideration. The PLUS response, or our PLUS response, is tab 2.19 of your book, and then the state's acknowledgement of receiving our comments is tab 2.20. The state had no objection to the project and recognized our environmental concern. As I mentioned, we have had a lot of discussions with DLDOT. We have met with them on numerous occasions about this project. We, like DLDOT, like you, and like the residents, recognize that the current alignment of Cedar Grove Road with Postal Lane is an unsafe intersection, is a negative to the area. And we were concerned about that as well. So we met with them to see how we could help with that situation. DLDOT is proposing to realign that road. I can tell you I talked to Mike Simmons today, who is the Capital Transportation Program Coordinator for DLDOT. And what he is explaining to me is currently that road is in design through DLDOT. It is planned to have right-of-way acquisition in 2011 and 2012. And funding for the project has been scheduled for 2014. He did tell me that if the economy turns around and things get better, they would accelerate that. Because it's a safety issue, it's more of a priority than some of the other volume-related issues.
What you're speaking of is the realignment of the roads, not the dualization of Plantations Road.
That is correct. I'm speaking only to the realignment of Cedar Grove Road to go from this point to realign, to align with Postal Lane, not any kind of improvement along Plantation Road. That is correct.
Tabs 2.14 and tab through tab 2.17 include various correspondence with DLDOT regarding our willingness to work with them on that alignment through contribution of funds in a proportionate share based on our impact to the roads. And they have agreed to allow us to do that. We've talked to them about sharing stormwater and working with them as it relates to any right-of-way that they may need as part of that project. So we have met with them numerous times, and there has been nothing but a spirit of cooperation on both sides. As I mentioned before, and you'll probably hear from the residents about traffic, yes, Plantation Road is a heavily traversed road. It's recognized as an alternate route to the beach. I've used it myself. And there is a lot of traffic during the summer on Saturdays and Sundays. But as I mentioned, our project is proposed as an office project. We're not
proposing to be operating on the weekends. Medical professional office generally operate during the week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So we do not believe that our project coincides with the peak traffic on the weekends. As Mr. Lank mentioned, we do have a letter of no objection from DLDOT. They've seen the plan, and they have provided that and also acknowledged the cost sharing that we have agreed to do. As Dennis mentioned, we are located within the ESDDOZ zone. Our response to each of the criteria within that ordinance is located in tab 1.4 of your book. I guess in the spirit of keeping this thing moving tonight, I don't plan to go down each one of those, but to acknowledge that we are not required to comply with that because of the size of our project being less than 75,000 square feet, but we have included in the book. We are proposing what we think is a very environmentally friendly project, and we are taking seriously the concerns in the environmentally overlay zone, and that's in your book. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have about that particular section, but I'm going to skip going through it in detail. Sewer and water. As I mentioned before, there's a sewer pump station. It's actually on this plan. You can see it located right here. So directly across from the project, we would be proposing to connect into that pump station, provide any downstream upgrades that might be required at the direction of your engineering department. And the engineering department acknowledges that in their documentation. In addition, Tidewater, we are in their district. There is a 12-inch water main which runs along Plantation Road, and we would be connecting to that. Tidewater has provided an ability to serve letter that is located in tab 2.13 of your book. With that, I'm going to turn the project or the presentation over to Mr. Hastings for him to talk a little bit about the environmental things that we have done in the building.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Brad Hastings. I'm a principal and architect with Becker Morgan Group, Incorporated in Dover, Delaware, and Salisbury, Maryland. I'm also a LEED accredited professional, and LEED accredited professionals are distinguished by having passed an exam administered by the Green Building Certification Institute, GBCI, and meeting continuing education requirements. As you've heard mentioned already and in the documentation, the project is intending to pursue LEED certification. LEED, Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, is a green building rating system that's been developed and has been in process for over 10 years now. It's a nationally recognized certification system promoting integrated whole building design practices in the building industry, utilizing a rigorous application and confirmation process for project documentation and certification. So in order to pursue this, there are a number of avenues that the development has to take into account. LEED basically incorporates five environmental categories, those being sustainable sites, water efficiency, energy and atmosphere, materials and resources, and indoor environmental quality, as well as some innovative practices, approaches, and regional priority credits. I'll quickly go through a few of these and point those out for you. As noted on the site earlier, trying to maximize green space and the use of pervious paving. We also have one of the facilities that has understory parking, which again allows us to minimize the impact of green area on the site. Water efficiency, we have rainwater harvesting as well as green roofs, which you can see here. And here on the typical building. Plan is to have geothermal HVAC, high-performance glazing and insulation for the building as a whole. In order to meet the materials and resources piece, we would have recycled content used throughout the facility as well as regional materials within a 500-mile radius as required by USGBC. And as everyone hears about nowadays, indoor environmental quality will be addressed by low VOC materials. We have a plan for an underfloor mechanical system, which is a more efficient means of doing that. You can also see in some of the renderings, use of natural light through clear story windows, sun shades to minimize the impact of light, as well as bringing in daylight harvesting by having the windows there. So the intent of the project is to minimize the environmental impact. We foresee 33% less energy usage in comparison to a standard building construction, 40% less water usage, and that all combines for less environmental impact.
Gentlemen, let me address just a few matters with you, and that will conclude our presentation this evening. As you have been made aware, this property is located at the corner of Plantations Road and Cedar Grove Road. Plantations Road is unique in the sense that it has not overdeveloped with activity, but nonetheless, there are various non-residential activities that are located on Plantations Road, including a church, beauty salon, a small engine repair shop. There is an entrance to a borrow pit, a propane tank field. There is a wastewater treatment plant that's associated with the plantations. There's a well site that belongs to someone. There formerly was the windswept stables. You have the MRRPCs that are located there. At one time, there was an approved conditional use for a medical office, which has only recently expired. There is a daycare center currently pending, and what brought Mrs. Deaver and her friends and me together this past Tuesday night was an application for apartments, and there also is an unlawful or an illegal dump site that's toxic that's been there for a number of years. This last thing, that is the dump site, is not justification for this particular project, but it is part of the environment that exists on Plantations Road. What we've come to you for is professional and general offices to be placed at this particular site, less than 6-7 tenths of a mile from the BB Medical Center. The area is within the environmentally sensitive developing area. It is a low-level neighborhood business type area proposed by the comprehensive plan. In fact, the comprehensive plan at 3-22 places the subject property in this environmentally sensitive developing area, and the text states that of the 7 growth areas, what you're looking for here is something that is on a connector type road, not a major arterial road, and it is encouraged that commercial uses such as a variety of office spaces would be available. That does not include large retail or office type complexes such as a corporate center. So what we have here, we believe, is compatible with the comprehensive plan. The matter is brought before you as a conditional use, as I addressed at the beginning, because it allows for discretion and judgment to be imposed upon the application by the zoning authorities, both you in the form of your recommendation and the county council and its action if it takes an affirmative action on this application by allowing 4 conditions. As we have mentioned to you, PLUS was not required, but we came through PLUS with no objection. DelDOT has looked at this. There was a letter of no objection issued by DelDOT. We had attempted to cooperate with them with the realignment of Cedar Grove Road. We can't do that now because we've lost the adjacent property. And in terms of the traffic impact here, although there is a lot of traffic here, it is not intended that, and we do not believe to be true, that office use will come during the peak hours of Friday afternoons, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday when people are coming back and forth to the beach. We have submitted to you proposed findings of fact twice, once in the book, once in the people or in the material that I've just submitted to you. We have given you a proposed set of conditions as a starting point if you choose to use them. If you don't choose to use them, at least it gives you a matrix for your thought processing. With those thoughts in mind, Mr. Bross, Mr. Bariglio, Mr. Hastings, and Mr. Ryman are here to answer any specific questions you may have about this application.
All right, sir. Well, we'll see if anybody has any, and you can direct it to the appropriate person.
Thank you.
And we'll start with Mr. Burton.
Thank you. Tell me... Let's just forget the future Cedar Grove Road. Would the plan be to move this forward and develop whatever DelDOT's requirements are on the current Cedar Road and Plantation Road?
The answer to that question would be yes, Mr. Burton, for 2 reasons. One of them is we only own the land, which is a part of the site plan, so we can't go anywhere different. Secondly, as we all know about DelDOT, their schedule accelerates and decelerates depending upon funding. but we are going to comply with all of the requirements that DelDOT has imposed upon us, whether they're on-site or off-site. If at a later date we have DelDOT forward movement, again, we think it's 2014 based upon DelDOT's conversations with Mr. Ryman, there may be a little extra land available, but ultimately this project goes forward with or without DelDOT.
So they are making no assumptions. They're giving you two sets of plans. They're saying you got to build, you got to follow these rules on the current plan and those rules on the future.
That's where we are. But we all know DelDOT's planning, designing, intending to change that intersection, and we know we need to react to that. If you'll notice from the plan, Mr. Burton, we have no entrance or exit onto Plantations Road. So hopefully we won't be bothered by it too much, nor will we bother Plantations Road too much, except for the traffic that goes through the Cedar Grove intersection, wherever that may be.
The plan that we're looking at now, this that nice plan, it has a pretty nice curvature on the Cedar Grove Road. Is that that can all be done within the confines of where it is today?
If you'll tell me what curvature you're referring to.
It's just when you come down Cedar, it's my recollection, when you come down Cedar Grove Road and come to Plantation, it's pretty much, yes.
This is as it exists.
Right.
Okay. This curvature, which would
forget
Cedar
that curve.
Grove opposite Postal Lane.
Forget that one. I'm talking about the nice sweeping curve that you have going from.
I'm talking about the radius in between the two.
Right here.
Yeah,
right
there. The radius. Yeah.
Yes.
That can be completed so that if the proposed road doesn't come in, we're pretty much looking at a nice. It's currently a T.
I'm going to let Mr. Ryman address this, but assuming that this project is built here, which is what we hope to do, and this road is in existence at the time of the construction, I have a question in my mind, and maybe Mr. Ryman can answer better, how much road improvements will be done at that spot?
That's the question.
In anticipation that that's going to be built. And if that's going to be built, my guess is DelDOT's going to say, don't spend your money here, make a financial contribution to that over there.
And that was the way I think DelDOT views it. I get that right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. But I want to point out, too, that the entrance improvements that you see on the plan, that meets DelDOT requirements based on our project. So what we submitted to you for decel lanes, bypass lanes, that's current DelDOT regulations as they exist for our project, regardless of the road.
Regardless of the
Cedar Grove road.
Cedar Grove.
Correct.
Okay. And just in your conversations with DelDOT, was there any conversations about a light on Postal Lane?
I think they are asking for us to sign a signal agreement with them, but that's pretty typical when a new project comes in, especially if it's a project located at the corner of an intersection. They ask you to sign a signal agreement. It doesn't mean our project causes the signal, but what that means is when a signal is warranted based on traffic warrants, which is a set criteria established by DelDOT, we would be required to help fund our proportionate share.
Okay. You mentioned the number of parking spots that are provided. I can't see it. There's how many provided, and how many are required, and how many are provided.
I'll borrow these.
Actually, I didn't. Yeah.
Mike, you want to answer?
Sure. There, the code requires one parking space per 200 square feet of floor area. That would result in 225 total parking spaces being required. We have 238, 198 of which are surface ground parking. 40 of which are proposed to be below the building, understory parking.
Given if this plan moves forward and the okay down there, sir? given the plan moves forward and given the DelDOT's 2014 deal, when would you think this would be built in relationship to 2014?
I'd say before.
1 year? 6 months?
I mean, we have a year of design, engineering, and approvals ahead of us right now, just getting through, once we get through this step.
And a year of construction.
And at least a year of construction. So.
It takes 2011.
I have no further questions at this time.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, sir. I guess looking at the site plan, probably one of the questions Mr. Johnson would ask if he were here is there parking in the front yard setback?
There is parking in the front.
Dennis, I can grab that one. The answer is yes. There is parking in the front yard setback. I want to acknowledge that setback is based on the 20 foot of additional right-of-way that we have dedicated to DelDOT. So that setback has pushed back about 20 feet. Had we not had to do that, the parking or the building setback would have slightly, by a matter of feet, exceeded the parking.
How many spaces is that? Two dozen?
A lot.
Yeah, a decent amount. And our desire to have the parking in that location is an attempt to try to keep the parking close to the building, especially medical professional office buildings. Folks get there, and especially some of the senior and elderly, they don't want to have to walk too far to get into the building.
Could I expand upon that just?
Please do.
How far is the parking from the property line, the proposed property line? Appears to be about the same as the parking space, so it's approximately, what, 20 feet?
About that, 15 maybe.
15 to 20 foot. 20. So you got a 15-foot of green space between the property line and the parking?
Yeah.
And that's the new property line.
From the new property line,
Could that parking be put up next to the buildings, decreasing the walking space and then the roadway going to the rear?
We would love to do that. In fact, that would be a desire that we have. Unfortunately, the fire marshal's office has some strict requirements related to parking between a primary fire lane and the building. So we are somewhat limited in our ability to park adjacent to the building. And that's the reason for the parking to be across. But I completely agree with you. If we had that ability, we would do it.
Is there an opportunity to argue that point from a perspective of it being a medical facility with a fire marshal?
Unfortunately, no. We have argued that many times. I can tell you the fire marshal is coming out with new regulations this year, and hopefully we'll see some changes.
Mr. Smith, I'm going to tell you that I have even appealed fire marshal decisions, and I can tell you that there is nothing in this world that will change the fire marshal or his regulations, including the fire prevention board.
Well, I guess the value to that is then you always know where they stand. There's no wobbling there.
Sure okay. Do.
Thank you. The Ebenezer Cemetery is in the vicinity?
To the rear.
Yeah.
It's
rear.
To the rear being back here.
And I believe I read that you'd agreed to let some people come out and document the old farmstead and also, I guess, make some notations on the visible headstones.
That is correct. That was part of our plus response.
You mentioned, Mr. Ryman, the hours of 8 to 5 and days Monday through Friday. The application also states for professional and medical offices. Would I assume that the professional offices would be some support for the medical professions?
That would be a safe assumption, and I would assume also that the landlord will seek other professionals. It could easily be attorneys, accountants, tax preparers.
Thank you. Can we further assume there are some notations, the D1 through 3s and G1 through 12s, on the site plan, that those things, such as, for instance, is some of the alternative fuel and hybrid recharging stations, the carpool location for hybrid vehicles only, different things like that, that's the intent of the applicant to include them on the final site plan presented. He's shaking his head.
Absolutely.
One of those notations is for a bus stop. Would that look like an all-weather bus stop?
That bus stop is actually located here. It can be. We are trying to work with TARC to get a bus stop located there, given the medical office nature. I think that would be an important asset.
Something that could provide a rain and windshield. All right. Mentioning the fire marshal, what is approximate distance to the nearest fire station?
Rehoboth, Lewis, and probably the one on 24 would be the three closest fire stations.
Mm-hmm. And
Nassau,
your
Route 1.
Mm-hmm. Nassau Route 1 is maybe more distant than the one in Lewis, but it's close.
But if I were to say you have, then you have a, you have three or four fire stations within what would hope to be a 5 or 6 minute response time. That would be accurate.
Yes.
And how about the nearest police station?
Delaware State Police Barracks are on Route 1, across from what is the name of that project?
Route 12.
Well, not just Route 12, but it's across from Wayne Baker's gas station, but there's also a housing project across the road from it, the old proposed Tanger site.
Would there be on this site, if it is approved, do you anticipate any storage of narcotics or anything that may attract a criminal element, someone that can't wait for the prescription to be filled?
Can't wait for the doctor to get in?
Yeah.
Well, we're surely not going to encourage that, Mr. Smith, but I've got to tell you that within the medical profession, I'm sure there are things that are restored on site that are either that are prescriptive drugs that are subject to regulation either by the state through the pharmaceuticals or through the medical profession about securing and whatnot. It's not something you can leave laying around. I'm not familiar with those rules and regulations, but there has to be security related to that.
I believe that's all.
All right, sir. Mr. Ross?
The parking spaces we were talking about before, are those the pervious parking spaces, the ones that...
Correct.
...up to the car? Okay, and the cemetery, is it the lands of Joan and Joseph Sayers between this project and the Ebenezer Cemetery?
That is correct. There's one parcel separating us.
And so the issue with the cemetery is just one of Historical Society convenience to work with them? It's not really
correct.
Directly related.
It's pretty common that as you go through the PLUS process, when they look at the location of your project and your cemeteries or something like that
in the vicinity,
it's a red flag that goes up for them. We're willing to work with them.
Okay. And the Leeds project, kind of, Mr. Lang, do you know of another Leeds project that we've ever had in the county? Leeds certified?
There is a Leeds certified residence in the just outside of Oakview. In a residential subdivision, but that's the only
private residence.
The only one. I don't know of any business yet that's completed.
Very unique. I was in the first LEED certified restaurant in DC just last week. It's the very first one to open in our nation's capital. It's kind of a unique status. So if you could get that would be cool.
Mr. Ross has just whispered in my ear that there are only three LEED certified businesses in the state of Delaware.
Menu for that. No further questions.
There, the PNC Bank at Rehoboth was supposed to be green infrastructure, but I don't know if they're not certified yet, right? But they did design it in that realm, right? Yeah.
I'm on a national board that, in fact, I'm leaving tomorrow for a meeting in another place, and we participated in that LEEDS design and parameters and bio-based products, and so I commend you for going that direction.
Yeah, just to give you some further perspective on the LEED Platinum is the highest rating that you can get. There's only 140 of those in the entire world. So, this is a pretty significant. Our goal is to get there. That's our goal, is to get to that certification.
Mr. Lang.
Just in looking at the color rendering of the site plan, it appears that all the parking outside is pervious. Is that right?
No, that's the pervious parking is the lighter gray parking on your rendering.
Okay.
We like to keep the travelways a non-pervious. Just it gets a little bit more wear and tear than the actual parking spaces.
No, but it appears that the parking spaces are pervious. The driveways are impervious.
Correct.
Is that right?
Did I say that backwards? You said it right.
I think you got it right,
Mr. Lane. I'm just guessing by looking at the way it's drawn. It appears that they're like the pavers.
Yes, they're like block pavers,
yes,
and they allow.
Yep. Okay, that's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions, thanks.
All right, gentlemen, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1848, Todd Barriglio? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1848?
Good evening. My name is Betty Deegan. I live at 18201 Hickory Lane, Lewis, Delaware, which is actually in one of the developments, Sandy Bray, which is on Plantations Road. I'm going to put this up in a few minutes, but first I wanted to give you the folks in the retreat, which is located on Cedar Grove Road, have a petition here opposing this conditional use, and there are 45 signatures on it.
Okay, sure.
That's fine. I wanted to, first of all, I'm representing the Sandy Bray Homeowners Association tonight also. We are opposed to this conditional use in this office, medical office development, so I wanted to get that on the record first. The other thing I wanted to do was to give you a closer look at what is actually along Plantation Road. And as I said, this is a DelDOT map because they're always trying to figure out how to get all the traffic off our road. And we don't want them to make it four lanes. So this is one of their old proposals. This will take you, this is Plantation Road. Okay, this is Route 24, and this is Route 9 up here. Okay, so we're talking about the area from 9 to 24 on Plantation Road. Closest to 24, we have a development called Summercrest. There are 80 sites there. There are actually 66 homes there now. We have Wood Cove. There are 48 homes there now, and a couple of those are just under construction right now, but there's also going to be more in the future. There's 26 individual homes along Plantation Road. Then we have Adelaide Estates, which has 59 homes. We have Sandy Bray, 259. We have Plantations East, 379. We have the church, which was spoken about here. Then we have Henlop and Landing, which is 190. We have The Plantations, which is 232. Robinsonville Road also comes into, close to, up by Route 9, comes into Plantation Road. So the people who live in these developments use Plantation Road also. We have Seawood, which is 56. We have Gosling Creek Purchase, which is 82. And we have Morning View, which is 27. So right now, we have 1,438 homes on that road, individual homes. And you know there's got to be, for the most part, two people in each one of those homes. So the trips that are going on there right now are horrendous. I really believe that there needs to be a traffic study, because this is going to add, and let me tell you, from Memorial Day till the middle of September, it's not only Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We plan when we're going to go out. We know when the traffic's going to be the heaviest, and it goes Monday through Friday during the summertime. So it's not just a weekend kind of a thing. And the last thing we want is to divert traffic from Route 1 on the Plantation Road. I mean, this is primarily a residential street. And there are a few conditional uses there. It was alluded to. One of the homes has been turned into a beauty parlor. There's an old cement thing that goes on there that's been there for years.
and was probably grandfathered in at some point. So our argument is we live there. Oh, and there was also talked about, you know, that there are proposed 216 cottages at Arbordale, which will also empty onto this road if that finally makes it. And then there's a daycare center coming up that you're going to hear also. We're opposed to all three of these things. We believe that the development is there is still going to develop. I would say that what I looked at today, I ride through every once in a while to reaffirm what I'm before I come testify. And there's going to be at least 1,500 homes, which is going to happen at this point because there's still some sites available, in, for instance, in Summercrest. So that's my argument, and I would also ask that you would please consider getting a traffic study on this. And I don't know why DelDOT didn't require it because they know the problems we're under. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Beth. I'll do that there for you. All right. Who's next? All right. Come up and tell us who you are, and you may have the floor.
Thank you. My name is Julia Morey, and I live at 383 Lakeside Drive in Plantations East in Lewis, one of Ms. Deacon's properties she was talking about. And I'm representing the Plantation East Homeowners Association. As Betty pointed out, we live in a residential neighborhood. I hadn't done all those figures. I had no idea there were so many of us, but it certainly seems that way on a, particularly in the summer on the highways. There are a few very small businesses in our neighborhood, but I think if you go up and down, you'll find that only two, I believe, and they're both in houses. There's no real commercial development in any place on Plantations Road between Route 24 and Route 9, and even beyond that down to Old Landing Road. As she pointed out, we have enough traffic already. We don't need any more, and the Cedar Grove Road turn is a terrible turn as it goes. You all know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. And there's obviously going to be a gap between this building going up and the time that that road gets straightened out. At least 2 years, if not more. That's a very dangerous intersection with nothing on it right now. And it's a shame they can't straighten it out sooner, but it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Thirdly, I don't know for sure, but it seems to me that there's really no need at the moment for another medical office building. I go to a doctor downtown Lewis in a new building that was just built on Savannah Road. It's got two occupants in it so far. I know they're still looking for occupants for the Tunnel Cancer Center property. Maybe in 10 years there'll be a need for this, but at the time it doesn't seem like there's any need for medical or office buildings. And the last thing I'd like to point out is this sets a precedence for the application for other conditional uses. As Mr. Schrader, I think, pointed out, we already have one now for a daycare center. We would be opposed to that for the same reasons that we're opposed to this. We have a residential neighborhood, and we want to keep it that way. We can go to Route 1 if we want to see what commercial development does. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, who's next? Yes, sir, step right up. All the way in the back there, blue shirt, somebody.
Mr. Wheatley, while he's walking out, just for clarification's sake, the daycare center, is that going to the Board of Adjustment?
It's a Board of Adjustment application. It's posted. It comes up in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. I just didn't think that would go to us. That's what I was checking. Thanks.
It's on the same access road that goes back to the 216 apartment units that's proposed.
Oh. October 5th, Board of Adjustment.
5th? Okay. October 5th.
Hi. My name's Tom Captor. I'm a resident of the Idlewild Estates, right across the road from Plantations there. I have a lot of things that are bothering me about this, and I'll try to go through the list quickly. Number one, they're talking about a two-story building. Am I correct?
Appears to be.
Okay. Where's the understory parking? Doesn't that make it a three-story building?
Well, I guess in the strict interpretation, perhaps it does. It's a three-level.
Yeah. Now, in a lot of states, when we constructed, we had a height limit of 42 feet. Is there going to be a height limit on this, or is it just going to be a huge...
It would be governed by the zoning code.
It'll be 42 feet.
Okay. The parking, again, we're talking about the understory parking. I'd really like to get that cleared up. The hours of operation seem to be reasonable. I believe that this is an appropriate place to put a business kind of office construction, but I think they're trying to jam too much onto that property. One building construction would be much more appropriate. It allows for more parking, allows for more drainage, which is a problem in flat Delaware. Idlewild Estates, we're famous for our big ditch that we have. And we've had problems with Denrec, and Denrec has admitted that even though we have this huge ditch, we still have a drainage problem. Where's the water going to go from this construction if they're putting two buildings there? They're not going to have a huge ditch like we have. The entry, again, is a problem until they get that straightened out with Cedar Grove. And I'm not clear about the definition of a medical building versus a professional building, because I remember last time we were here, they were talking about, they were suggesting that it was going to be a medical building. Now it's medical professional. Iffy about that. The square footage of the building, if I understood it correctly, was two buildings, 22,500 square feet each.
Correct.
Two stories makes that 90,000 square.
No, that's one. The two.
It's not just the footprint.
Right. Correct. It's not just the footprint. It's two stories.
Okay, that helps me feel a little bit better.
So it's only the total of 45,000 square feet.
Okay, the courtyard layout. Kind of vague. How big is a courtyard? What's going to go there? Is that going to be part of the drainage problem that I was just mentioning? Minimum parking requirements, according to their statistics, meet according to the square footage of the building. No problem there. What about lighting? You raised the question earlier about, are there going to be lights on another piece of property? What about lighting on a medical professional building? Because right now, we don't have a night sky because we have Route 1 lights just block out anything that you want to look up and see what's going to happen on the other side of us.
Typically on street lighting for projects of this type, the county requires that they be downward illuminated and that they don't project light into other properties.
And that includes security lights?
Any kind of light.
Any kind of light.
Usually it's specifically also referencing security lights.
Okay.
Neighboring properties and roadways, and there's not neighboring.
And roadways, too, so they don't get glare for drivers.
Once they put a light, if they ever put a light at Plantations in Cedar Grove, it's going to slow the traffic down on Plantations Road already. And right now, we have a problem there. It was mentioned earlier that we plan our trips. If we want to go shopping, we go out by 9 o'clock, because by 10 o'clock, the traffic starts on Plantations Road. And as was said by the entourage here, they were going to divert some of the traffic from Route 1, which means where is it going? Plantation Road. And that's one of the things we're trying to avoid. Beebe, the medical building, is over on Route 24. The figure was given at 0.6 miles. I question that figure. I'm a walker. And from my house, which is, let's see if I can see it on the map here. I'm lost here now.
You're under the legend.
Right beside the legend on the left.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, my house is right here. And from here, down this street to here is a half a mile. And down over to Beebe is another half a mile. So how we're getting from 0.6 miles from here to here, I don't know. And in my book, if a statement is going to be true, it has to be all true. If any part of the statement is false, it's all false. So I'd like to have that actually verified. I don't think that's a true statement. It was mentioned we don't have a lot of businesses. They're talking about as if we have a commercial roadway down Plantation Road. The only things I know is it's a church, which is only there on weekends that they have a service. There's a beauty parlor, and I don't even see cars going in there. There is a cement works hidden back off the road. I don't know where there's an auto body shop or an auto repair shop. That's not on Plantation Road as far as I know. And I've lived here 7 years. And I have too many questions about this. I would like to see them do something with it. I think it's fair. If somebody owns a piece of property, they'd like to develop it. But I think a more reasonable development is called for in this area. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Who's next?
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Loretta Mahan, and I represent the Idalot Association, Homeowners Association. This is the second meeting that I've attended in relation to this proposed project. And, you know, the first time I came in, my hackles were up, and I've listened to everything that's been said. And looking at this in a positive light, excuse me, as a homeowner in that area, I have to say to myself, is there a need for such a property, for such an invasion of a residential area? Those of us who purchased property at Idalot Estates and the surrounding areas did so because we wanted to have a residential community. Our development is 59 homes. It's not a very large development. Most of us are very close to Plantation Road. You can throw a rock and hit it. And when we look at the topography around where we live, we have to say to ourselves, we bought here based on what our surroundings look like. When we buy a property, it's not just for the valuation, the dollar valuation. It's, are we going to feel comfortable living in that community? The answer was we did, because it was off of Route 1, close to all the businesses, without actually being invaded by that commercial space. With this project, which, you know, listening to what is being proposed for there, I'm not against development. Idalot isn't against development. But let's do it in an area and put and establish something that there's a need for. BB Medical Building right around the corner is less than half occupied. It's a medical building available for other medical space. We all thought when we purchased there that we would be surrounded by residential area. That is a scary proposition to think that that's not going to happen at this point in time. Most of us who have purchased homes in there, I'm going to say we have a 95%, 100% occupancy. That is to say we're not seasonal people there. We live there full time. We like to be able to live there for a long time. All of the concerns that have been put on the table this evening, the amount of traffic, the fact of our flow going in and out of our development, I ask all of you to put yourself in the same scenario if it were where your home is. Would you want to all of a sudden look across the road and see a 2.5-story building when you have open field, or you would have a residential area that would allow you some visual egress? It's a scary proposition. Most of us who have purchased where we are have no intentions of, this is an investment property, this is where we live. So I ask this board to take into full consideration how this is going to impact the living environment of all of us on Plantation Road and the surrounding Plantation Road area. Growth is a good thing, but do we need this particular type of structure in that area right now? Most of us are saying, no, we do not. There's plenty of other places we can go for office space and medical space. So we have some great concerns here, gentlemen, and I ask you wholeheartedly to look at that and put yourself in that personal arena. Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, who's next?
Good evening. My name is Giuseppe Mastrangelo, and I live in the Idalot Estate. And I almost say over and over the same thing, but I want to say something different, a little more. Where I live, my house is right on the corner of Posto, a plantation. If I sit in front of my porch, you will see the traffic on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, back to back from Route 1 to Plantation. Okay, sometimes from Plantation to Route 24. Our access is only one access to go to 24. My consideration is where I live is most elderly people, retired people. If we have an emergency to go to the hospital or something, before an ambulance they get there, it better be follow the ambulance hearse, because you're going to die before you can get to the emergency room. So please, gentlemen, more than my things, more concern is to think about family, old people. Leave the place as a residential. Yeah, I do appreciate. That's always my concern. My concern is more for our old people, the more than anything else, for emergency and stuff like that. Sometimes I don't go out on the weekend just because if I have to go super fresh, it takes me 20 minutes to go just around the block. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I hope you consider that. Thank you.
Okay, who's next?
I have several questions I want to ask.
Well, why don't you wait till you get up here and then you can ask them. Tell us who you are and you can ask all you want.
I understand that. I've been here before. My name is Michael Robertson. I live in Adelaide Estates, and I have several questions about the building itself. They're proposing 45,000 square feet. Approximately how many offices are you proposing? I know you got some engineering problems.
Hey, sir. You've been here before, okay?
Yeah.
So if you've been here before, you know you have to speak to us,
okay,
and we'll get the answers for you, okay?
Okay.
So one of and I'll even write them down, because I think you've got probably more than I can keep track of in my head.
No, I hope not.
So
that's the way the rules are set up. So
that's fine.
He's getting pretty old, and he can't remember all he used to. So.
It's really not me. I'm a lot nicer guy than I appear to be in the newspaper. So, okay, we need to know
number of office spaces, office suites, maybe 45,000 square feet.
Okay, we'll find out for you. What else, sir?
I'm looking at the stormwater management, and we're going on a kind of an if proposal. If DelDOT has the money and they can come up with the other proposed funds to move this, of course, we know in the economic climate, it's not going to happen. They got some really, Pete Schwartzkopf couldn't get an intersection fixed. I don't think that road's going to get moved anytime soon. I really don't think so. And I think a little of the data may be slightly flawed. They said they never seemed to have too much of a problem. Just last weekend, it took me 18 minutes to get off of Postal Lane. I almost drove across Mrs. Adelaide's yard and back into development, but that wouldn't really be a good thing to do. But the guy that was there with his little abacus from the state of Delaware, and he was there pretty much all day, was asleep a good portion of the afternoon, and missed most of the traffic. The reason I know, because I walked right up to his car, and I know the individual personally. This is Delaware. So this isn't some kind of, I'm not trying to blow sunshine. I think once you find out how many offices you're going to have there, in most doctor's offices or most general business offices, you figure 5 people per hour go through each one of those. So you can figure out how many more people are going to be added. There's only a mile between, if you put up a traffic light, we're going to have the same problem that Rehoboth has now.
In this particular area here, Postal Lane, that's pretty much a heavily traveled piece. Mm-hmm. There's only less than a mile between that and the road, and I've already seen it most weekends backed up well past that, almost up to Lowe's.
Excuse me, sir, the 5 people per hour number you just mentioned, what do you base that on? Is there some...
there is some data on that. I can't remember exactly where I got it,
It's important.
I know it's important, but just check for any office, any doctor's office, is generally 5 people.
You didn't stand here as an expert witness, okay? So,
No, I won't go
expert. And since you're not an expert witness, if you state a data like that, in order for us to really weigh that statement, it'd be nice if you had a reference to a manual or
I will see if I can dig that up for
like
you. Yeah, I will get back to you when I get back
to verify that the data is accurate.
Yes, okay? I will. If you put a traffic light there at Postal Lane now, I can almost unequivocally assure you, even on weekends like now or Sea Witch Festival, any normal weekend down here, that it's going to back traffic up from 24. The light at 24 going across 24 is pretty short on our side. You got about maybe a minute and a half. So you get about 8 to 10 cars through there. then they, most of the traffic goes down to that light, to the next light, turns right and goes down to Old Landing Road, and it's a four-way stop, and everybody seems to work that out pretty well. But again, that road is impacted too. Depending on how many offices you put in there and the amount of people generated by that office, it could severely impact that road, you know, down the pike. I mean, it's already impacted out there now. Most of you have gone out there, been out there any weekend or during the week, have seen the impact that road has. It's only a secondary road. And the only way that Delodot could probably fix that would be to widen it and make it, you know, four lanes. We can't even get 24 done, so I don't think that's going to happen in this climate right now. That's my only concern. I have no problem with the business or the offices. It's just the road itself I don't think will stand anymore.
Okay.
And you'll get back to me on that.
The one question that you asked was about the number of office suites, right?
Yes.
That's one thing you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
All right? I'll get that
answer.
That
and my one question is, that particular runoff pond,
yeah, I'm going to ask that question, too. I understand what you're saying.
I know, I don't think,
we're going to find out what the plan is there, but I don't think they're relying on that pond there for their stormwater. That's a future pond for DelDOT's use, not these guys.
Yeah, and, you know, so, I don't see one there for that particular pumping area at the moment.
I think it's being designed without one, but we're going to find out. That's a good question.
We need an answer.
Yeah, all right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Ryman, before we move on, ma'am, you guys will be next. I'm going to get this gentleman's answers for him, okay? And then we won't forget you. Okay. Approximate number of office suites.
We don't have an exact number at this point. The office suites can vary in size depending on the demand that we get from the particular tenants. Typically, the spaces could be from 2,000 to 10,000 square feet. It's pretty typical. User could come in and want the whole building. That is a possibility, but typically 2,000 to 10,000 square feet is a pretty good number.
Okay.
Can I follow up with a question on that, Mr. Chairman?
Sure, yeah.
With the parking, though, because the parking ties into the types of uses and the number of different suites. How did you calculate the parking, you know, not knowing how many different suites will be in there?
1 to 200, because it's actually calculated for professional office.
That's what I was wondering. So is it based on the professional office calculation, just flat based on the total square footage?
It's based on 1 per 200, okay, which is 45, and take 45,000 square feet, you come to 225 as required.
Because of the medical and dental offices, this has a different calculation. It talks about number of employees and 4 per doctor and that type of thing. So, okay. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, the stormwater management system, if you could briefly describe how that's going to be done on this site and clear up this, you know, because it's a good question, because that large pond shown over on the other property, I think, is confusing some folks, and I think maybe some folks sitting up here, too. So we would.
Sure, fair enough. The stormwater pond that is shown here is not proposed by our project.
Right.
That's out of discussions that we had with DelDOT related to that road realignment.
Okay? Right.
So what we are proposing to do to deal with our stormwater is actually to propose a bioretention facility here in addition to some underground infiltration. So our goal is to manage our own on-site stormwater ourselves. So everything on-site is contained on-site. We just show this for reference because we've been in meetings and discussions with DelDOT. There have been a lot of discussions about stormwater. We've offered to them to work with them if they need anything from our site in terms of sharing stormwater.
Okay, and I think the gentleman was expressing some concern that there was no pond. You don't appear to have a pond on your site. Why is that?
Yeah, well, two things. We're not proposing a wet pond that most people see. We actually have some pretty good soils here, and what we're proposing is a bioretention area. Bioretention area consists of a layer of media. This is an approved practice through DENREC. It's considered a green technology stormwater management practice. It allows stormwater to infiltrate down through that, which cleans or treats the stormwater. And then there are underground infiltration systems. So that water actually infiltrates down into the ground, and that is our thought there. But this would actually be dry, so you wouldn't have that wet appearance that a lot of people are used to seeing. Bioretention areas also are heavily planted. There are a lot of wetland plantings in those particular areas. So this will actually look very nice in terms of terms, it'll look almost like a landscape bed, is about what it'll look like. In addition to that, we're proposing to utilize some underground infiltration. So underneath of our parking system, we would have some perforated pipes and some stone, and we would infiltrate that water down into the ground, allowing for groundwater recharge.
All right, sir. Thank you. No. Just all you got. One trip to the customer. Thanks. Yes, ma'am, in the magenta, please come forward. Give us your name, and you may have the floor.
Thank you. My name is Jane Knaus, and I live in Adelaide Estates as well. My concern is that there doesn't seem to be a huge need for these medical offices since the other medical buildings that are already in place aren't being filled. So my fear is that there's going to be a repurposing of these buildings to find other people to lease the space once they find out that they can't fill the building, since there's already a precedence for empty medical building space. And that's my concern, that I think that it feels a little bit like a Trojan horse, like, yes, medical, everybody loves medical offices, but if they're not being filled elsewhere, then the owner will try to fill it with other kinds of offices that may not be part of what they initially were planning on. And that's a concern of mine.
Their application is for professional offices. That would include medical. It also could include lawyers, accountants, consultants of various types. Repurposing that you're speaking of, if it is anything beyond that kind of use, they would have to come back here, because the conditional use process is a very specific process. They will be, if it's looked upon favorably by ultimately by your county council, it will be specific to professional offices. You won't be able to do retail. You won't be able to do other types of uses that aren't office uses there.
Well, I'm not getting a sense about how much of it is going to be medical versus professional.
I don't think anybody can tell you that, ma'am, because you know you're none of us have a crystal ball and know what that's going to be.
Right, but what I know about lawyers and accountants, they do work a lot of weekends, so you know it's not going to be just a 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. It'll be over the weekends as well, which also will impact on the rest of the environment.
I work a lot of Thursday nights, too.
Thank you, ma'am. One trip to a customer, sir.
I just wanted a clarification.
You can get that later on, okay?
You had asked other questions about the office space. Where is the understory parking going to go?
On the
under the building. That's why.
But then, are there going to be 2 stories above that?
Yes.
It's still limited to the height limit.
Still
though.
Limited
I mean,
to 42 feet.
The zoning code says you can only go this high, no matter what you put underneath the 42
right.
feet. It's still.
I have a house that's 42 feet. It's 2 stories. How are you going to get under?
Well, really, stories don't matter, sir. The story, the number of stories isn't what drives it. It's the actual height of the building. So,
yeah.
You know, there's code on how much space you need between floor and ceiling, but you go down underneath.
You measure, sir. You're measuring from ground level up 42 feet. If they want to go down 142 feet, that's their business. You know, we don't care because it's not going to obstruct your view. Okay. Well, I suspect it will, but you know, that's why these guys get the big bucks to design things that don't do that, and I think they're looking. All right, sir. We're okay. Thank you.
There could be some trade issues with China on that.
You know, it could be, and it does get pretty hot the further down yeah. you go. So you could have some heat sink issues as well, I guess. But we're going to leave that to the engineers and see if there's anybody else here that would like to speak in opposition. All right, then. Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us this evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. And those of you who are not going to remain with us, I would appreciate it if you would leave very quietly, because we have a lot of other business to transact. We're not done. So.